The final plan from the National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform is taking aim at a host of federal employee programs from health care to pensions to the overall size of the workforce. These recommendations are among several that could have a significant impact on workers and their agencies over the next few years. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us with details and analysis of the Debt Commission's plan. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Amy.
So which federal employee programs or benefits are among the Debt Commission's recommendations to cut or reduce?
Well, the Commission in many ways wants to touch what I'll call the third rail of federal employee benefits, the pensions and the health care program. The idea is to review both the CSRS and the FERS programs and bring them what they call in line with standard practices with the private sector. The panel also wants to base retirement pay on the highest five-year salary instead of what they call the high three. As we know, salary, when you retire, you look at the average of your high three, and that's what your base pension is based on. They want to move that to the high five. The other recommendation is to change the federal health insurance program. The Commission recommends making it a defined contribution premium support plan that offers employees a fixed subsidy that grows at no more than 1% of GDP each year. Now, I caught up with Paul Posner, a professor at George Mason University and a former director of federal budget policy at GAO.
The federal and state and local pensions are very good deals for employees. And the problem is politically they are now out of step with the rest of the workforce. And that creates a political vulnerability for federal employees. And I think what you see with some of these recommendations about relooking at retirement, you know, most of the private workforce either does not have a pension at all. If they have a pension, it's a defined contribution, 401k kind of pension. We have these defined benefit plans where future taxpayers are on the hook to can make good on it. And I think as we stare at these deficits at the state and federal and local level, that whole bargain is going to have to become renegotiated. And I think this kind of thing is in that spirit. So when you look at it that way, I think there's going to be an inevitable rethinking of those kinds of things. What you hope to do is you give people enough time to adjust so they can increase savings, work longer, or whatever. That's the sensible way to do retirement for Social Security reform.
Now, there's several other recommendations, including the three-year pay freeze, cutting travel to 80% of the 2010 level, cutting 20% of the federal fleet, and selling off federal excess property. The Commission also recommends freezing members of Congress' salary for 3 years and cutting congressional and the White House budgets by 15%.
Well, the pay freeze that the White House proposed earlier this week was symbolic. So how symbolic are these suggestions versus real hardcore attempts to save money or reduce spending?
I think it's both. I think it's symbolic and it's an attempt to grab some of the low-hanging fruit to achieve some of those immediate savings. Now, I also talked to Alice Rivlin, a member of the panel and a former director of the Congressional Budget Office and former director of the Office of Management and Budget.
There is a feeling in the country that federal workers have security that private sector workers don't have, and that private sector has been falling behind. And so I think it's partly symbolic. And then it's partly like the spending cuts. It's an opportunity to get to right-size the workforce, as they say, and to make sure that we don't have more people than we need to do the job.
Now, Erskine Bowles is one of the co-chairmen of the Deficit Commission. He says these recommendations would bring federal employees more in line with what's going on across the country. For instance, state employees and the private sector employees haven't received raises the last few years, yet federal employees have.
I think a freeze was absolutely appropriate. We recommend a cut in the federal workforce of about 200,000. That occurs by for every three people that retire, you know, only two people replace them. Back in the Clinton administration, we were able to reduce the workforce down to 1.8 million. It's now grown back up to 2 million. So I felt it was something we could do. I don't have any qualms about it whatsoever.
Alan Simpson is the other co-chairman of the commission. He said it's time for federal agencies to make some hard decisions that state governments have been making for some time. He says, look, my governor in Wyoming asked for a 10% across-the-board cut. And he points to Arizona and California and some of the other states that required furloughs or other reductions in force because of the pressures of the budget. So the commission basically is telling the federal government, hey, the hard times are catching up with you.
And we're speaking with Federal News Radio's reporter Jason Miller. What did the commission say about reducing discretionary spending across the government outside of pay and benefits?
Well, right. I mean, federal employees should expect less money to meet their agency's missions as well, not just less money in their pockets. The commission recommends to cut discretionary spending and get rid of underperforming programs, very similar to what the Obama administration has been calling for over the last few years. Take the bottom 5% of your programs and get rid of them. Now, discretionary spending would be frozen at 2011 levels in 2012, but, and this is a big but here, they would bring discretionary spending would come down in 2013 and beyond all the way down to 2008 levels. So we're talking about non-security-related discretionary spending would be under $400 million in 2013 to 2015. It would creep back up to about $400 million, but not reach 2011 levels again, which was $410 million to 2019. I know it's a lot of numbers, but basically things are going to get cut back at your agencies. That's the takeaway. Now, I caught up with Robert Shea, a principal at Grant Thornton, and a former OMB official and Capitol Hill staffer. He said the attempt to curb and even reduce discretionary spending is different than in the past.
I think it's different in scope and diversity. The size of what they're recommending to cut is more substantial than anything I recall, but also the diversity of it. They call on OMB in collaboration with the Congress and agencies to go line by line to find areas to cut, but they also recommend the establishment of a commission whose responsibility it would be to find 2% across the board cuts in discretionary spending, one percentage of which would go to savings, but the other percentage would be redirected to high performing programs. So I think that's an innovative way to both demonstrate this is not about terminating programs, it's about eliminating, finding savings from ineffective ones, and putting the at least part of that money into programs that have been demonstrated to be effective.
Now, Shea adds that agencies will have to make some tough decisions if Congress comes through and actually reduces discretionary spending into 2008 levels. He said, you know, small reductions usually can be taken out and be dealt with, but when you get really significant changes in discretionary spending, that starts looking at cutting programs and then cutting, obviously, people who work on those programs, because savings just from reducing travel or training is minimal at best. It's really cutting programs where the biggest savings are going to be achieved.
And Jason, what are the chances of these recommendations passing the commission and being taken up by Congress in the first place?
Well, I think that the chances of the recommendations actually going forward are pretty good. Now, will the commission approve them? It's hard to say. They need 14 of the 18 members to vote to vote yes, and that's unknown right now. Erskine Bowles says he's counted about 7 votes during the meeting yesterday. But either way, it looks like the commission's recommendations will really help set the tone for the future in Congress. Senator Kent Conrad is the chairman of the Budget Committee.
I said earlier there are things I don't like. I'll withhold talking about those because every one of us could go through page after page and find things we really don't like. Let me just conclude by saying I think this is a critically important moment. And whether or not we get 14 votes, and I very much hope we do, I think this is going to provide a guidepost for decisions that must be made. And the sooner they're made, the better for this country.
Now, several other members of the commission, both members of the House and members of the Senate, have voiced either approval for the plan or at least saying, you know, even if we don't approve this as a commission, there's so many things in here that we're going to have to move forward on because it's so important. Now, Bowles and Simpson gave members until Friday at 11 a.m. to decide whether they're going to support the recommendations or not. But again, even if the commission doesn't end up approving the plan, I think a lot of this, if not all of it, will be brought up over the next year in Congress, and that's why federal employees should really be prepared for major changes to both the workforce, their benefits, their pension plans. There's a lot of change coming.
All right. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. You can get more information on this story. Tom, did you have a question?
Well, I just wanted to double check and clarify, Jason, that even if 14 members don't approve it, that doesn't mean Congress can't vote on it. And conversely, if the commission goes ahead with it, Congress can still pick it apart and vote provision by provision if they wish.
Absolutely. These are just recommendations. There's nothing binding here. And in fact, you know, there's a lot of in here that the members don't like. So I think they'll pick and choose what they like best and tweak what they don't like. And so this is just the beginning.